I'm Jess Jackson with iHeartRadio and joined today by Brent Smith, frontman from Shinedown. Being Belle, Let's Talk Day, I kind of wanted to open up with that. And I really appreciate you being so open about chatting with about Belle, Let's Talk Day and mental health with us today. So I appreciate that, Brent.
Thanks for taking the time out of your day to talk to me.
Of course. Do you just want to kind of talk about your own mental health struggles? You've been open and honest about it before. Maybe did you have kind of an aha moment that, you know, opened things up for you and brought everything to light?
I don't necessarily know if it was an aha moment. I mean, oftentimes when you're talking about substance abuse and you're talking about drug addiction, the main thing that happens for a lot of people that deal with this is that they have to hit a rock bottom before they're really, really ready to change. But in some instances, you have to look at, we often say that it shouldn't be about the painter, it should be about the painting. So you have to kind of take a step back sometimes and look at the vastness of the landscape. But for me, there were two major things that happened. My son was born in 2007. He's 14 now, with an opinion, so that's fun. And but the moment he was born, you know, my son saved me from my vanity and saved me, in a lot of ways, saved my life. Because he made me understand that it was no longer about me. You know, I'm no good to him if I'm dead. So that was a huge thing that got me clean. And I was clean for a decent amount of time. And then I don't speak on this often, but back during the Threat to Survival album cycle, right before we went out on that cycle, I had a relapse, and it was extremely bad. To be totally honest with you, I'm lucky to be alive. And ultimately, there was someone very, very special in my life, and she's still part of my life. We're dear, dear friends. But she said something to me that really resonated. I'd never heard it said in this way before, but she saw my struggle, and she was like, look, you've been here before, and you've dealt with this before, but you're running out of lives, man. And the thing is that she said something to me then that really kind of changed everything for me. She goes, let me tell you something. You are way more dangerous when you're sober. When you're clear-headed and focused and locked in, that's when you are the most dangerous. And what she meant by that was, that's when I have all my facilities about me. That's when I have all my wits about me. Like when I'm clear-headed and I understand what it is I need to do, because I'm a taskmaster, but I'm also, you know, people look to me to know what to do. I'm usually the one that's creating the plan, but I'm only as good as the people I surround myself with. So I'm always trying to be the hardest worker in the room. But, you know, for me, it was always with substance abuse, it was always an excuse. Like I just need something to turn my brain off, or I just want to go to sleep, or it won't stop. Well, guess what? It's never going to stop. You know what I mean? It's how you handle it. It's how you evolve more than anything. And I've never been anybody that really dealt with or utilized a program or a rehab facility. I have had to do it on my own, but in a lot of ways, I've never been on my own. I'm the luckiest guy in the world because of the three guys that I'm in a band with, because those dudes have never judged me. You know, I remember Zach one time telling me, he was just like, Zach and Barry both, you know, they were like, look, man, we're not cops. You know what I mean? We're not trying to take you in anywhere, but we're watching you destroy yourself. And, you know, we don't necessarily know what to say or do, but we're here for you. And, you know, all they've ever done is, if I fell, they've picked me back up. And somebody that I've had a lot of conversations, me and Eric, man, like me and Eric will kind of just, you know, as our relationship has gotten stronger and, you know, as, you know, the four of us has been out there, like me and Eric have a lot of talks, man. We try to never be quiet. You know what I mean? That's the worst thing you can do. Like with mental health, I would tell people, one of the biggest things that will help you is remember to not stay quiet. Like that's not a good thing. Like when you bottle things up and it becomes a pressure cooker. And when you don't talk to somebody or when you don't release it, it's eventually it's going to explode. And you know, for a long time, I think that mental health was looked at as a weakness, especially people that were in power or people that were in a leadership role, especially like in sports and what have you. They would demonize that, you know, for years and years, like because somebody was like, hey, man, I don't feel good. Well, you know, take an aspirin. No, I don't mean like that. Like, I don't feel like myself up top. Like, there's something going on in my house. You know, I got an intruder, you know, in my house, you know, in my brain, and I need some help. And it's like, you know, we'll just deal with it, you know. And I think now what has happened is people have understood that they're not necessarily trying to get sympathy. They're not trying to be dramatic. Like, people, they don't understand what's going on and they need to talk to somebody. And that a lot of times is the first step. And it's a very courageous thing to do. It takes a lot of bravery to ask somebody for help from a mental standpoint, because you don't want them to think like there's something wrong with you or that you're crazy or, you know, that you're losing your mind. That's not the case. You're just evolving and you need help with that evolution.
Wow. Very well said. And completely agree with you. Can you talk a little bit too about maybe someone that is going through the same struggles and, you know, maybe they have had, you know, a slip and it's giving them that motivation to, you know, get back up, dust yourself off and try it again?
Yeah, I think that what you got to remember is that it might sound simple, but Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, so you got to do it one day at a time. I know that some people may see this, you know, a lot of people will see this and be like, yeah, it's easier said than done. Well, you're absolutely right. You could look at it like that, but if it was easy, it really wouldn't be worth it, would it? If it was handed to you and you didn't go through the journey and you didn't go through all of those obstacles, a lot of times that's the most crucial thing you have to remember is also too, if you do slip, don't beat yourself up. You know what I mean? Like that, you know what you did. It's not the end of the world. And you know, but what you got to really maintain is that it doesn't become the end of the world, because I got a lot of friends in my life that mean the world to me. And they were wonderful people. And unfortunately, they're not here anymore. And some of them by their own hand and some of them, you know, because it was accidental, you know. But the thing is that you got to hold on to that one step at a time, one day at a time, because you can compartmentalize things and you can plan for the future and do all these different things. But when it comes to you as an individual, you know, one day at a time, at least for me, has worked very, very well. Every day I'm trying to better myself today a little bit more than I did yesterday. And that also takes time. You know what I mean? I'm 44 years old and, you know, I can look back in the last decade, the immense amount that I have learned about myself through other people, you know, helping me with that. Once again, it goes back to, you know, the worst thing you can do is be quiet. But my biggest thing would be, don't beat yourself up. You know, if it happens, it happens. And, you know, what you have to remember is that you're not perfect. The journey wouldn't be as sweet if you were perfect. You want to see some of those scars and those cuts and those blemishes. And, you know, you're a work of art. You know what I mean? And you're original and you're an individual and you're unique unto yourself. So what works for you may not work for somebody else, and what works for them may not work for you. But that's part of the journey. So my best advice would be, you know, remember that you are necessary and that you're important and that the world is way cooler with you in it.
I love that. You probably get this a lot from fans, but, you know, referencing certain songs as, you know, this moment really, really hit me, or this song got me through some things. Is there maybe a moment with a particular fan and a particular song, or maybe just one that sticks out more than others, where a lot of people will say, you know what, this was the song, this was the one for me that, you know, spoke to me and really, really got through to me?
There is a song, yeah. It's not what you would think it would be. I have a side project that me and Zach Myers in the band Shine Down, it's called Smith and Myers, that me and him will do occasionally. Mm-hmm. And this last record that we did a double album. And we did a rendition, a kind of a reimagining of the song Keep On Rocking in the Free World by Neil Young. And people are like, do we really need another cover of Keep On Rocking in the Free World by Neil Young? That's what I get sometimes. But so here's the unique thing about that song. It's the second verse. In my opinion, that second verse is one of the most important pieces of literature in modern day rock and roll. Why the second verse? I'm gonna tell you what the second verse says, because a lot of people have no idea what the second verse is actually saying. They just know, keep on rocking in the free world. That's all they know. The second verse of that song is this. I see a woman in the night with a baby in her hand under an old street light near a garbage can. And now she's put her kid away and she's gone to get a hit. She hates her life and what she's done to it. And now there's one more kid that will never go to school, never get to fall in love, and never get to be cool. And if that doesn't hit you like a ton of bricks, then you may need to reevaluate yourself. And so for me, anytime I hear that song, when I think about that second verse, I remember being 16 years old, because that was the first time I started you know, messing with drugs when I was 16. And I remember hearing that, because I was doing drugs and it was just like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? It was like the kind of the Victorian-ness of it all, the romantic, you know, thing of it, because it's dangerous. You know, I'm doing something wrong. You know, I had no idea. I was like, well, I wonder what that means. Like, you know, what is a hit? Gone to get a hit? What are you talking about? Like, you know, one more kid that'll never go to school. As I got older, man, I was in my late 20s. And I remember just hearing that and just having the most massive epiphany. And yeah, so that's something that I will refer to a lot of times and think about. And, you know, that second verse, you know, is something that I'll refer to just on a mental note from time to time, keep my ass in check.
Yeah. I want to kind of go back to what you said about, you know, not being quiet about things. I just wanted to go into about helping others. So is there something that you maybe watch for with people in your life and you think, okay, you know what, I don't think they're doing that well. Maybe they are struggling and I need to reach out and maybe try and help them through this.
Not to go back to what I said a little while ago, but when it's radio silent, like when I don't hear from them, or like if I'm texting them and they're not texting me back, or if I'm, you know, on an email chain or something like that, and or somebody will be like, hey, man, have you heard from so-and-so, this and that and the other? That's when, you know, in the touring community and what we do, like there's one part of what I do, which is in a studio, and there's the writing process of what we do in the band. And then there's a whole other element of it, which is what we do when we go on the road. I mean, we are in a industry that you're never in the same place longer than, you know, 12 hours a lot of times. And, you know, I'm on the road 280 days out of the year, regardless if I'm on tour, because I travel so much, because I'm doing so much, you know, outside of the artistic side of things, I'm also doing a lot of the business involved in the industry and what have you. So yeah, when like you don't hear from people, or like all of a sudden you saw them and they did not look good, you know, and you don't do anything at that moment in time, but then you reach out and kind of see what's going on. But that's kind of like the biggest thing. Like when you notice someone not there, and you have an instinct as a human being too, like we're very in tune with one another. And that's what I would look for more than anything, is if there's a change in attitude, if there's a change in just demeanor, if you've noticed, like even down to hygiene, like if you notice, like, you know, they're not taking showers, or their hair is greasy, or like, you know, they're not normally like that. They're very well kept most of the time. And all of a sudden they're not doing that. You know, they're kind of, you're like, I don't recognize you. Sometimes it's not rocket science. It's right there in front of you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for the inspiring words. And yeah, really appreciate it. You take care of yourself.
Thanks again for all the support. And it was awesome to talk to you.